Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Okay, today is Sunday, October 3rd, 2021. Okay, I've got a few things to talk about today, everything from the markets to economics to entertainment. All right, so first of all, September, we're now finished with September. I said on a previous session that going back about 100 years, September is actually the only month of the year for the stock market that there's been an average loss. And that happened again this year. September, the markets were down anywhere from about 4.3 to around 5%, depending which market index you're looking at. But anyway, markets had their first down month since March of 2020. All right, but October, a lot of people, I think investors might be surprised that October actually is a positive month overall for the markets. The reason I mentioned it might be surprised, we've had our two big crashes in October, the stock market crash of 1929. I remember when I started in the industry, I actually worked with stockbrokers that were there on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange when that happened in 1929. I always thought that was fascinating. And then I myself was on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange when we had the second crash, the one in October 1987. But overall though, October is generally an up month for the markets, not by a lot. I think it's up 0.5% on average. But actually, the fourth quarter of the year, the months of October, November, December, historically has been the strongest quarter of the year since World War II. The markets have been up during that last quarter about 80% of the time. And the overall return is around 4% or so overall for the fourth quarter of the year. So anyway, all right, so we'll see what happens. But October's really not that bad a month for the market. Okay, so let's talk about some economic news. We had coming out the end of last week, another inflation report, the PCE report. I've talked about this before, a personal consumptions expenditures index. And I mentioned this is something that the Federal Reserve does look at closely. And what that showed, inflation is up. We had the August numbers actually come out. It said inflation is going up at an annualized rate of 4.3%. Again, the question is that a long-term inflationary trend, or is it, as the Federal Reserve, transitory? That's their exact words, due to a reopening of the U.S. economy. The reason that can be important, if the Federal Reserve determines that this is long-term inflation begin building into an economy, it may begin to raise interest rates and decrease the money supply, which would decrease the amount of credit available in an attempt to slow down the economy. But the Federal Reserve right now seems to feel that this is more transitory. And they're still in their accommodations mode, as it's called, where they are continuing to pump $120 billion a month into the economy and keep interest rates low. So we'll see how long that lasts. Okay, so we have that. Tesla doing better than expected as far as vehicle deliveries. They announced during the third quarter, it was expected that they would deliver about 221,000 electric cars. They announced they came in at 241,000. And, you know, the sheer number of electric cars Tesla is selling has really woken up a lot of the competitors, the more traditional auto companies that are now putting more and more resources into electric vehicles. The other day I mentioned Ford announced $11.4 billion investment into factories for batteries, trucks, and they already have their electric cars up and going. So anyway, all right, so we had that Tesla news there. Let's see, what else do we have? Also electric vehicles. I mentioned on a previous session the company Rivian, R-I-V-I-A-N. They were the first to the market with their electric truck. Well, I did mention a couple of weeks back that there were some rumors they might become a publicly traded company with stock that trades either on the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ. Well, they announced on Friday that's exactly what is going to happen. They are going to go public. They are going to be listed on NASDAQ. And this is expected to be a massive, massive public offering. The estimates are they may be raising $80 billion. And it also, it's going to happen within weeks. It's going to happen within weeks. So we'll probably see this by the end of the year at least. One thing about Rivian, they're actually partly backed by Amazon, and also Ford Motor Company has a stake in it. So anyway, you probably hear a lot about that going forward. It will be Rivian, so keep an eye out for that. Okay. So, and also, if you're interested in their electric pickup truck, again, it's called the R1T. That's like R like Ralph, the number one, and then T like Tom. So R1T. So you could Google that and check it out. Okay. So we had that. Continuing on with electric cars, Rolls-Royce is announcing that they are going to stop manufacturing gasoline-powered cars by the end of the decade. So the assumption is they are going to bring out an electric car. So we may see electric Rolls-Royces out there on the road. That'll be interesting because Rolls-Royces are very like heavy, kind of big. I don't know if they're physically big. They're big enough, I guess. So they're very heavy with high-powered engines. And so it's going to be interesting to see what kind of batteries they come up with to power these Rolls-Royces. So we'll see what's going on there. I don't know if you know the saying about a Rolls-Royce. If you have to ask how much it costs, you probably can't afford it. So, just so you know, Rolls-Royces, I think they started around $350,000. The average ones are about $400,000 to $500,000. But supposedly, it's a car for life. I read a number one time that like 94% of all Rolls-Royces built over the last 120 years is still on the road. So, anyway, so Rolls-Royce is getting into that also. All right, continuing on with auto numbers. We're still seeing a major problem with auto production here in the United States, not just United States, worldwide. What's happened, they can't get the computer chips for these cars. And so I'm told it's really hard to find new cars right now. I've been in the market myself. I got one about a year and a half ago before all this stuff started. But yeah, it's the major problem, you know, and I think what's going to happen, I don't think you're going to see these companies put themselves in this situation ever again where they have to rely on chips from overseas and so forth. We'll probably see a lot more chip factories being built here in the United States to supply the auto manufacturers. It's not just the computer chips. They've got other supply chain issues, which is, I'm going to talk about supply chain issues here in just a minute, but ongoing issue. All right, so that's going on with the auto industry. All right, let's go over to entertainment. Disney has made peace with Black Widow. You know, I've talked about this, you know, on previous sessions. Scarlett Johansson for Black Widow, she signed a contract back in 2018 that she would get a percentage of box office. Now, that's not that uncommon for major stars with potentially big movies. The idea is that the movie company likes these deals because they take less risk, because if the movie's a flop, they don't have to pay the artist as much. But the idea is if the artist is getting a stake, a cut of box office, well, they have every incentive in the world to promote and push the movie. Well, what happened, you know, Black Widow ended up on Disney Plus, the streaming service, paid $30 for it. And quite a few people ended up doing that. Disney announced 2 million people bought that at $60 million. And the box office, although it was good, was not as high as expected. Well, Scarlett Johansson sued because she basically had assumed she probably gotten a renegotiated deal. See, Warner Brothers renegotiated those deals with their artists because they had all their movies on HBO Max this year. It was a lawsuit. It was getting kind of messy. I had talked a while back, you know, it probably was not in Disney's best interest to let this thing continue on. Probably was not Scarlett Johansson's either, because the problem is you got all the other you know, actors, and I use actors for male and female, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they may have similar deals looking at this. So anyway, but they did announce they have agreed to end their lawsuit. They have reached a settlement, although terms were not disclosed. All right, so we got peace there over in Black Widow world. All right, continuing on with entertainment. Venom, Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage. That's part of the Marvel Universe, actually, although not Disney's Marvel Universe over there, I think, with Warner Brothers. Anyway, came out this weekend, said it becomes the biggest opening of the pandemic. Actually, it's Sony, sorry, not Warner Brothers. Sony said came in at $90 million North American box office. Now, the reason that's significant, people are beginning to return to the movies. So we are seeing that, which obviously benefits the movie companies, AMC, Cinemark, and so forth, and also just the movie industry in general. Sony had said they projected the movie would do $40 to $50 million in the box office. It was thought they might have been being somewhat conservative, but $90 billion, a really good number. So it does look like people are beginning to return to the movies. Now, on the other side, the Tony Soprano, or Soprano's prequel, Many Saints of Newark, only brought in $5 million at the box office. That was released on HBO Max also. So obviously there's a lot of feeling that, you know, that may be why it didn't do as anywhere near what, you know, Venom or other movies like that did. But anyway, it was expected this one was actually going to do probably 7 to 12 million, only came in at 5. So this model of releasing on a streaming service at the same time as in the theaters doesn't seem to really be working. You know, the idea, you know, Warner Brothers in this case had, they own HBO, is that it would drive new subscribers to HBO. And they have seen some of that with some of their other movies, but not that many. And then I mentioned a while back with Black Widow and some others, there's the problem of piracy. My understanding is that when a movie is on a streaming service, it's not that hard to get a pristine copy that then people illegally like rent out and sell out there in internet land. But when it's in theaters only, it's more difficult to get a clean copy. So anyway, all right, so that's probably going to be another hammer and a nail in the coffin there for the releasing movies on streaming and theaters at the same time. James Bond movie, No Time to Die, that did $119 million over the weekend in its international debut. I don't think it's released here in the United States for another week or so. But anyway, so the point is people are going back to the theaters, so we are seeing that. Okay, Macy's. Macy's is suing Amazon. Okay, well, why? Or I'm not sure if they're suing Amazon. They might be suing the company that owns the billboard. All right, so if you ever see a picture of the Macy's store in Manhattan, 42nd Street, Herald Square, all right, you know where the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade goes by? All right, there's a giant billboard next to the store. It says Macy's. Well, a lot of people, I think, assume, and I did too, that Macy's simply owned that. Well, no, apparently it's the building next to theirs that has the billboard. Well, anyway, I guess whatever company owns it, they're here. I guess they want to, Amazon wants to buy a giant billboard, Amazon next to the Macy's store. So it says Macy's is fighting back, going to court to argue the company would be irreparably damaged by such an ad from its deep-pocketed online rival, it's Amazon, and claiming it has the rights for nearly 60 years to stop any other retailer from advertising on the sign. Okay, so we'll have to see what happens there. It says here, although it appears the 2,200 square foot billboards on Macy's property, which it does look to me like it is, they said it's actually attached to the building next door owned by Kaufman Realty. All right, they own the billboard too. All right, so we'll see what's going on there with Macy's. Okay, we got that news. Saw an article, CEOs that are at wit's end don't know how to get their employees back in the office. Well, yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people have gotten used to working from home and they feel they can effectively and efficiently work from home. But some people, I think, legitimately are afraid of coming back in a potentially crowded office with the pandemic still going on. And the CEOs, you know, they they've tried different things. A lot of companies, though, have not reached a point where they're ordering people to come back, because what do you do if they simply don't? But anyway, they're still working on that. I've seen they're saying that it's becoming an issue, trying to figure out how to get people back in the office. Perhaps, you know, again, it'll be a hybrid model where employees will come in the office some days and work from home others. All right, so we got that one. Couple more things here. Okay, see, there's been some recent news that there's been bottlenecks with shipping, things piled up at docks, factories closed overseas, and that it's going to ruin the holidays. Going to be not that many toys or holiday decorations. Well, it looks like the news is getting better. These bottlenecks are beginning to open up now. Things are beginning to flow again. So there are many retail stores that just do not have a lot of stuff right now. It's interesting. I was over at Sam Ash Music, a good, well-established music equipment chain. They go back to the 1920s. And I was out visiting one of their stores here in the Orlando area, not just the other day, and they got a sign on their door apologizing for their lack of inventory, but said new things are coming. So a lot of places are like that. They're just running out of things, but apparently the bottlenecks are starting to open up. It's almost like a traffic jam. It's beginning to move again. And so these companies are coming up with ways to move things. So perhaps the holidays won't be as bad as was feared. There may be stuff actually available. Okay, what else we got here? Just one other thing today. We'll wrap it up. Got a company, basically a Compound. What they are, it's a cryptocurrency, decentralized. I'm not even sure what they do exactly, but they do a cryptocurrency. All right, so what happened? What happened is they accidentally released $90 million of cryptocurrency to their customers, and they don't apparently have a way to easily get it back. So they're asking everybody to voluntarily return it. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. You know, there could be a case many people may be honest enough just to return it. It'd be like almost getting extra money in your bank account that, you know, doesn't belong to you. I think many people actually would then return it. But anyway, they're actually telling everybody, look, keep 10% of it, just return the rest. So we'll see what's going on there with that. Okay, so one last thing. All right, so what do we got coming up for next week? Well, we have a factory output report coming out on Monday. That would be October 4th. But really what the market's now going to focus on is Friday. We have a big labor report coming out for the month of September. The market's really going to focus on that. So I'll talk about that over the next session or so. And then starting with the next week, we will begin to return to earnings season. Many companies, their quarter ended on September 30th. It takes their accountants 2 to 5 weeks to get the financial numbers together. So we should start to see some of the earnings reports coming in and see how they look. All right. So I hope this stuff is helping. Again, Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and I will talk to everybody again soon. Take care. See ya.